we have, for the last 3 days, studied the different words for temptation, being tempted, and then we've studied extensively the words about tribulation or philispus. And both, all the words for temptation and all the words for affliction or, well, it's just affliction, tribulation, all these words, they all have one purpose. And that singular purpose is to cause you to come to the end of everything where you can say it's finished. Where you can agree that the kingdom of God is here, that everything is finished, that you've been perfected by one offering. There's no more battle. There's no more anything. And God is patiently waiting for his people to be in that position. No matter what the tribulation is, no matter what the test is, no matter what the temptation is, it doesn't affect you. And that is the mystery of God. That it's finished. That it's over. It's a mystery that has been hid from all generations, including this one. Now let's look at a bunch of them, see if we can understand it more fully. Look at John 19. Well, I'm just going to read the crucifixion. Starting verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus away. They took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on the one on either side, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. Then said, I hear a noise. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own house. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Part of the conversion thing, the experience that I had, was this, the certainty that it was finished. And when I was interviewing all these people, I interviewed, you know, in those years, three years I had a talk show, I interviewed many, many, many of the leaders of the Christian world. And in most cases, I asked them, does it mean that it's finished? And they all had these harebrained answers that just didn't sound like. And then as I studied the scriptures, I saw that every single apostle, every writer of the New Testament thought and knew that it was finished, that the end would come in their lifetime. Now, what in the world has happened? We know that if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light, but if your eye be evil, your whole body is full of darkness. And even the light that is in you is darkness. But that word for evil, poneros, means that you have something to do, you have something to toil. You don't. There's nothing left. The kingdom of God is here. Now let's go to Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the word prove there is the word for test. But you must know that you know that you know that the kingdom of God is here. You must know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, that he is your only self. And once you know that, it's finished. It's done. It's over. And in you, the seventh angel stands and says, redeem the time. I have redeemed the time. The mystery of God is finished. The mystery of the bride is complete in this vessel. Therefore, time shall be no more. Now, is it possible for you to know that? To live it? That's what all this stuff was about. The temptation, the affliction, the tribulation, the trouble. To find out whether or not you have proved to your own self that this mystery of God is finished. Let's look at Romans 13. One page over. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is in high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's here. Go to Mark 1. verse 15. It's saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. That's all there is. 1 Peter. Second Peter. Verse 16, chapter 1. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming or parousia presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until a day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day has dawned. Has the day star risen in your heart? So you know that you know that you know there's nothing left to do but enter into his rest. Anybody have any response to this? Doesn't matter whether you're in pain. Doesn't matter whether you... Nothing. There's no situation. That's what all these words we just got through studying mean, that you can be at rest in the midst of all, knowing that it's finished. We could go all the way back to Daniel, we could go to all the prophets. They all say the same thing. And why don't we live like it? As we've been talking about, if there are situations that come up in your life where you cannot live by faith, then in weakness come before him and say, "Father, forgive me. I don't know what else to do but what this is set before me. It's not faith, and I acknowledge it, but I know not what else to do." Then it takes it away from you and gives him, and then he transforms this issue so that you know that you know that you know. But when you go from faith then to leaning on your own arm of understanding or cause and effect to solve problems or to enter into issues, then you haven't proven that he is who he is, because you didn't wait on him. So you don't know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you. He is your only self. He is your only life. He is your only will. Everything else is vanity and chasing wind. I don't feel like talking anymore. Listen up. We'll get back to Luke. But the side trip to the different words for temptation and what they mean, and the different aspects of tribulation and what it means, are all necessary so that we find out that it's finished. But you know in you that it's finished. Not some philosophy. That all things There's nothing important. All things are equal. You don't rank anymore. All right, take a big guy.